The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Business Connections, brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where diversity and opportunity are one. From education to employment, entrepreneurship to innovation, this program is your weekly connection to the latest trends and opportunities taking place all across Silicon Valley. Host Carl Davis Jr. talks to the rock stars of Silicon Valley and offers you engaging interviews and insights from local, regional, and internationally acclaimed business leaders, entrepreneurs, and community leaders to help you stay connected. Now, here's your host, Carl Davis Jr.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Business Connections. Hi, I'm your host, Carl Davis Jr., but I'm also the president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where we help all small businesses start their businesses, finance their businesses, grow their business, even exit their businesses. We're located at 25 North 14th Street, downtown San Jose. Or you can reach us via the web at blackchamber.com. In studio with me is my good friend, producer, and co-host, Mr. Carl Big Papa Welsh. How we doing,
I
Carl?
I love it when they call me Big Papa. Hey, I want to start a business, and I need you to help me start it and finance it. Can you do that?
Everybody else we can help, but not Carl. Anyway, we help all small businesses. That's right. And we help people who are not even in business. This show is about reaching the community. And today we have a very, very special guest, Mr. Derek Grasty. And Derek, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Carl. Thank you for inviting me on your show. I really appreciate this opportunity. The Silicon Valley Black Chamber does a lot for our community, and I really appreciate the work that you do and ongoing, and it's great.
Well, that's why we love you, Derek. That's why we wanted to bring you on, and thanks for that plug.
And the check's in the mail, Derek.
But Derek is one of those guys that just a wonderful background, and we want to hear about your background. Lovely family, two kids who are now, I guess, attorneys. But Derek is going to do something that we want to encourage most of the community to do, to think about serving in our community. Derek is going to run for the East Side Union School District Board of Education. Is that right, Derek?
That is absolutely correct. And both my sons are in law school yet. They're not quite lawyers yet, but they will be soon.
I spoke it in existence. Hey, Derek, you brought up something I really want to do, though. But let's learn a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about you, Derek.
Okay. Well, a lot of people ask, why are you running for school board? How'd you get into education? And it really started many, many years ago. I come from a family of educators. My great-great-grandfather is a graduate of Tuskegee Institute. He knew Booker T. Washington. He started the first school for African-American students in Danville, Virginia, in 1929, and was their principal there. And, in fact, eventually there was a street and a library named after him.
Wow.
If you Google his name, William F. Grasty, you'll find the school name. I think there's still two living alumni who attended the school. And, it's nice to have that sort of legacy. So that's where I started. Due to integration, the library disappeared, and I don't think the street is still there. But the memories are there, and the kids who graduated certainly served their community. Both my parents are retired teachers, my in-laws retired teachers, my wife's in education. So we have a history of education, of service, of working with the community and understanding that education is the great equalizer for all kids, particularly our kids and kids right here in Silicon Valley.
Wow.
We see a lot of these students, passing by these tech companies, and what do they do and how do I get in? So in fact, today, I'm right now in the parking lot of NASA, and we're taking some kids on a tech tour at NASA.
Oh, is this with the 100 Black Men?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yes, it is with the 100 Black Men of Silicon Valley. I'm the vice president, and We've got a nice group of kids. We've done this tech tour in the past. We've done it at companies like Google, Cisco Systems, and Lam Research. And so it's to get these kids these opportunities to see. So when they pass by these tech companies on the freeway, they have an idea of what they do and also can relate it to their own education in terms of what courses they're taking in high school and the value that those courses have. So again, it's about exposure. It's about targeting kids for the Silicon Valley jobs and supporting our community so that they also can give back.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I'm gonna have to call you Mr. Grasty simply because I love your last name. So Mr. Grasty, I do want to ask a question though. When you take these trips with these kids, what are the ages of them, and how do you feel that these trips actually affect them? Do you think that it's positive? Do you think that they come away with it with a greater sense of science and technology, or just where they are in this planet, or where we are on it? How do you feel like it affects them?
Well, first off, we take middle school and high school students on these tech tours. And the idea is we feel that that's the appropriate age to really get them energized about STEM knowledge and science, technology, and mathematics. And we give them this exposure so that they, too, can look into the future and see what they want to do. If maybe they want to be an engineer. Maybe they like playing video games. Maybe they want to do that. Well, science and technology and math, they can do that. Maybe they want to be an astronaut. So we're taking these on these tours so that they can see what the possibilities are and see how that fits for them. And kids need meaningful experiences outside of school and being able to relate what they're doing in school to the real world. A lot of kids, aren't interested in school because they don't see the connection between, how does taking algebra help me down the road? I mean, where am I ever going to use that? Well, if you want to be an engineer, if you want to be an astronaut, if you want to do a variety of different things, that mathematics is necessary for you to achieve your goal.
Hey, can I jump in?
Direction.
But can I jump in, dear? Because I want to challenge, this thought about getting our kids in junior high school and high school. And Derek, we're producing something that Carl's very part of, too. It's called the Bay Area Black Youth Techathon, where we wrap arms around our kids from first grade through 12th grade and young adults. We believe we got to get them early because we found out that if they don't get acclimated or they don't do well in first, second, and third grade, later on, in junior high school and high school, they're starting to go in different directions. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Certainly the earlier we start, the better. But for these experiences, working with the tech tours, we feel that the presentations that are presented are for a little older age group, but certainly kids need to be working with, even in preschool, that they need to learn spatial sense, working with blocks, even when they're 2 and 3 years old, and getting that knowledge in place. So it's a lifelong process.
Carl went to Cal. Hey, Derek, I got to say this before Carl gets it in. Carl went to Cal. So messing with blocks and stuff like that, that's a little difficult for him. But go ahead, Carl.
Well, that's very true. But that's not to... We'll talk about that and the difference between Cal and Michigan soon. But I got a question. As an educator and from someone who comes from a family of educators, what do you think about it? How do you feel about the inequality of education in, kids that are underserved and underrepresented, kids from low socioeconomic backgrounds, as opposed to kids that come from more affluent backgrounds?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, we're more than 60 years post Brown v. Board of Education. And we're still talking about the same things. We're talking about equity in education. We're talking about access. We're talking about opportunity. And these are the things that were discussed 20, 30, 40 years ago, and we're still talking about it today. And it needs to, and that was my motivation for getting into education. I went to school at University of Michigan. I went undergrad and graduate school, bachelor's and master's. I did music. I did education, and also performance. And, my first experience, I originally wanted to play in an orchestra, and that was my impetus. But then a friend of mine said, "Hey, why don't you work with these kids? Come on, give them some private lessons." And this was like my junior year, And I got in there, worked with the kids, saw the light bulb in their eyes, and I said, I want to teach. I want to share my knowledge with other kids and help them be successful. And so that's how I got involved with education. And I taught music. I taught other grades as well. But music program in East Palo Alto. They hadn't had music in 10 years, and the superintendent that I work with in Linwood in Southern California brought me up, and me and my wife, and she said, I want to start a music program, and I want it done right away. And so, most of the times you don't have those experiences of starting something fresh. You're either picking up where someone left off, good or bad. But I looked at that as a challenge, and we got instruments for the kids, and we had kids playing Christmas carols that first December, and we gave a full concert in the spring, and we were moving. And I'm proud to say that our kids did just as well, if not better, than the kids across the 101 freeway in Palo Alto,
yeah,
who had their own instruments and had their private teachers. And so, but it's about high expectations for kids, and it's about not dumbing down the curriculum, but really challenging kids and motivating them. And that's the key for all of our kids, for closing that achievement gap and really inspiring them and letting kids know that you care about them and care about their knowledge, their education, and care about them as individuals.
I love that, Derek. Yeah. You know, you have so much to share, Derek. We're going to have to take most of it on the second half. Let's pause right now for a commercial. You're listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections.
And now back to Silicon Valley Business Connections.
We want to welcome you back to Silicon Valley Business Connections. Our host for today is Mr. Derek Grasty. And Derek is a University of Michigan grad, but he's also running for the Eastside Union School Board, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I want to ask you a question about it, Derek, because a lot of our listeners may not have an idea of what the heck does a Eastside Union School Board person do, and kind of give us an idea about what you'll be doing when you win it, and then
or what a University of Michigan person does, but that's a whole nother show. I'm sorry about that.
School Board of Education. Tell us about it, Derek.
The Eastside Union School, the Eastside Union High School District is one of the largest high school districts in the state of California, and there are 7 elementary school districts that feed into the Eastside High School District. 2 of them I've been principal in, Oak Grove and Alum Rock. And when I was principal at Davis Intermediate School in the Oak Grove District, I worked with the Oak Grove High School, and we had our English language departments meet and collaborate and align their knowledge and skills and so forth so that there would be a smooth transition once kids left 8th grade going to high school at 9th grade. And as a school board member, I want to continue and support those type of collaborations where it's benefiting teachers, it's benefiting kids, and we're moving kids forward. It's interesting. You look at medical boards; they're going to have doctors on them. Judicial boards will have judges. Any tech company, they're going to have business and tech people on their boards. Most school districts do not have educators on the boards of education.
What?
And I feel that is true, and I feel that's a lens that I bring to the table as a lifelong educator who's been an Educator of Excellence Award winner, who has been a teacher, who has been principal, who mentors administrators. I know exactly how decisions are made on the board and how the impact will be for students in the classroom. And so I have that lens. Many board members, because they're not educators, they don't know what they don't know. And I feel that my ability to anticipate issues, problems and so forth is a lens that I bring that that other people may not have. They've got to learn on the job as much as they can. I mean, you can't learn 30 years of education, by sitting on a school board, once or twice a month. But I feel that I bring that lens, and I can talk to people and reach out to the community and connect, really, because I've been a parent. I've been a teacher, principal. I've been all of those areas as a community leader. So I see it from all lenses, and I know how to work with people, communicate with people, and my priorities on the board are to certainly engage the parent community more, the business community. You know, we can certainly tap into these business resources, have mentors, have foundations donate, and so forth. I was at a meeting last Wednesday where the Silicon Valley Education Foundation was working with Eastside in terms of programs and the Eastside Alliance. And we need those type of collaborations and going on to help benefit our kids.
Hey, Derek, I want to ask you a question then, Derek. Who's on the boards? Yeah. What are the boards like, the composition of the boards? If they're not former educators, are they all just parents? Or who are the people that are on these boards then?
You have a good question. You have a variety of people on various school boards. Some have been in business. Some have been our parents. Some have been in other walks of life as volunteers. Some are homemakers. I mean, it depends on the district and so forth. But very rarely is there an educator on boards of education.
So that means, Derek, I want to pause for a second. Derek, so that means that when you're running now, you're running to become this school board on the Eastside Union School District, right? The people you're running against, they're not educators?
Most are not. Only a couple are. But currently on the board, there are no educators on the board. No career educators on the board.
So tell us a little bit about your platform. What's a part of the platform?
Well, my platform is supporting businesses, getting them more engaged, getting parents and the community more engaged with the school district. That saying, it takes a village to raise a kid, it really does. And the schools can't do it alone. We need the business leaders. We need the community. We need the parents involved. And when we have all those entities involved, then you have really positive change for kids. Making sure that the budget is done well and there's fiscal responsibility. I'm very good at counting every coin and making sure that we have funds that benefit kids, and that should be our focus. How does this budget benefit kids? And that needs to be the lens.
Now you
and
have
also getting
go ahead,
all
go
our
ahead.
Kids college and career ready.
I
ran on a platform in years past on the A to G requirements because Eastside hadn't had A to G, and even though I didn't win, the board did adopt that policy. And then you have to also think outside the box. Once I was a finalist for an open seat on the board, and they were going through a budget crisis back in 08, and they said, well, what would you cut if you were on the board? And I said, well, we don't necessarily need to cut. We need to find more ways to generate revenue.
Yeah.
And I suggested, how about solar panels? Other districts are using that. We could use that as a means to offset costs. By and by, the board down the line did, in fact, adopt solar panels, and it saved the district millions of dollars over time. And, it's this type of out-of-the-box thinking that I think is needed and necessary on the board to really move things along.
So as I'm a parent, and you said you were a parent, obviously, of two successfully educated kids. Parents, to me, are always the single most important part, other than the teachers, the single most important part of our kids' success in schools. But a lot of parents don't get involved. How are you going to get these parents involved in the kids' daily activities in education?
Yes. Well, I think it's about communication. I think it's about reaching out to the community and letting them know that, hey, these are our kids. We're partners in their education. We're partners in their system, and we need your support. And I think a lot of it also has to do with parent education programs and reaching out to the community and saying, we want to be involved in the community. We're concerned about you. What programs, what type of activities would you be interested in as a parent?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been involved with parent university events, and we've had workshops for parents that on technology, on mathematics, on high school requirements, on how to get funding for college, on all of these things are things that would quit interest parents, and it came from the parents. We say, well, what would you like to have in terms of a workshop or a program, and bringing parents into that fold so that they have an interest, they have a dog in the race. In addition to their child, they have a personal stake. Hey, I want to learn more about this activity and how can it help me? How can it help my kid down the road? And I think as long as you provide those type of activities for parents, you have a vehicle to reaching them and getting them more and more involved and encouraging them to be involved in the PTA, the school site council, and all these other events.
Absolutely. And the transitions, when you were talking about earlier about the transitions from junior high to high school, how does that work with you guys? Is it successful? Because I think that's a huge, my daughter just went into the ninth grade from eighth grade.
I think the district can do more with that. Most school districts, they don't necessarily reach out to the feeder school districts and so forth. And in fact, one example of that was kids who now this no longer is the practice, but in past years, kids who would pass say Algebra 1 in eighth grade would then go to the Eastside school district. And they'd have to take a math placement exam.
Mm-hmm.
And kids sometimes, you know, they forget over the summer. They're not up to speed. So they'll take this test in August, and they would get a math placement based on that. And in many cases, they'd be taking Algebra 1 again, basically negating their performance in the past. And that hurts all kids, particularly kids of color. And, if you pass a class, they should not negated at the high school level, but that's because there was no communication between the high school and the middle school. And I think we need more of that going forward, so that kids not only are given credit, but there's knowledge about what they're learning, how they're learning it, the rigor involved, and having those teachers collaborate with one another so that they know, hey, this kid is prepared. I know this teacher, And the kids are respected for the work that they've done, and they've given credit for it appropriately.
Well, Derek, you've given a lot of information. We want our community to be able to interact with you. Can you give us ways that they can interact with you, become a supporter, help in your campaign? Do you have a phone number, a website, or a Facebook, whatever you like to give us? Can you take your time and give it to us now?
Sure. They can reach me by phone, 408-230-7020. My email is Derek Grasty, DerekGrasty @gmail.com. Or they can go to my website at DerekGrasty.com.
Well, Derek, you've been wonderful, and we definitely want to bring you back again. I think everyone that are listening right now should understand that the success of our community helps the success of every community. We're all interconnected. People have to understand that. So, Derek, we want to thank you right now for being a guest of Silicon Valley Business Connections, where your success comes from your connections.
Great. Thank you, Carl and Carl.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections with Carl Davis Jr. and brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. More information about today's show is available by going to the Chamber's website, blackchamber.com. That's blackchamber.com. Or call 408-288-8806. That's 408-288-8806. Copies of our podcast are available online at blackchamber.com. If you would like to know more about a specific guest or make recommendations for upcoming guests and topics, email info@blackchamber.com. Keeping you connected, Silicon Valley Business Connections.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.